Welcome to Mount Pleasant Methodist Church in Van Cleve, Mississippi. Thank you for joining us for today's sermon. This is our sermon for August 9th, 2026.
The Word of God for the people of God and the Gospel today comes to us from Matthew. It's in your bulletin, and we'll read together, or I'll read aloud as you listen to Matthew 14, 22 through 23. And immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. And later that night he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. And shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." This is the Word of God for the people of God. How many of you remember when Mississippi State wasn't very good at football? No, I'm. Wait a minute. Who said watch it? Who said that? Well, that now see, here we go. How many of you remember actually them being so bad that the stadium would empty out after halftime? Sort of, yeah. Some of you are older and remember. I mean, I moved to Mississippi, and I went to a Mississippi State football game in the Memorial Stadium in Jackson, and Mississippi State was playing Texas Tech. And I don't know how we got tickets. My dad went to the game. It was a night game at the stadium, and State, with a quarterback named Tommy Farr, and they had a wide receiver named Milner, and they ran up and down the field, scored four touchdowns. Texas Tech scored four touchdowns, and the end result was a tie. This was before they played it off, and it was a tie game. The State fans came out of the stands down onto the field. You would have thought they had won the national championship, and they were 0-8-2 that year. They didn't win a game. They lost eight and they tied two. But I said to somebody, I said, "Is this a big deal or something?" They said, "Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah." I said, "We hadn't won a game in so long, we can't remember when we did." Well, somewhere in the early, maybe in 95, 96, somewhere before Jackie really got rolling and we were doing well, I was at a Mississippi State football game, and Lynette had some tickets, and I went and I sat in the professor section, I call it. It was a section for the staff and the faculty. And there was a guy there. I knew him. I had met him. We had become friends. Our children were in school together. His name was Seth Oppenheimer. Anybody take Seth for math? I know if David Schmidt and Sarah were here, they had him. So he was a math teacher, and he also was the rabbi of the Jewish synagogue in Columbus, Mississippi. So we would talk, and it was just he and I mean, the entire section had cleared out, and it was hot that day. And he said, "Well, what are you preaching Sunday?" I said, "Well, I'm preaching about Peter and Jesus and walking on the water." He said, "Huh." He said, we Jewish people have a story like that in our Midrash. I said, "Well, what's a Midrash?" He said, "Well, that's the tradition of the preachers. It's like all the sermons every rabbi has ever given, and they put them in a book and they combine them and we read them kind of along with the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures." I said, "Well, what's the story?" He said, "It's about a guy named Nashon, N-A-S-C-H-O-N. And I said, what about Nashon?" He said, "Well, it's about when they got to the Red Sea. You remember that Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt and they got to the Red Sea. And anybody know what happened? What happened? The water opened up and they walked across on dry land, and then the Egyptians tried to follow them. What happened? Yeah, the water came back and drowned all the chariots. Y'all know that story. Maybe you know the movie. So he said, well, they got to the thing and everybody stopped, and Moses hadn't got his rod up yet, and God hadn't started the thunder in the heavens yet, and Nashon got a little impatient, and he begins to walk out into the Red Sea, and he gets up to his ankles, and he keeps walking. He gets up to his waist, and he keeps walking. He gets up to his shoulders, and he keeps walking, and by this time, Nashon is looking at Moses, and he's looking up, and finally he gets up to his chin, and Nashon, according to the rabbi, says, God, when are you going to do something? And God shouts down, when you have enough faith to go all the way. Now, that's what this story is about today. But it's really not about faith as much as it about fear. Peter is known for making statements that are bold. And he says, for instance, one time, he says, I'll go wherever you go and I'll die with you. Said that, right? When Jesus is saying, I'm going to go to the cross and die, we'll go die with you. And he said, and I'll always be with you. That was shortly later on, he said, I don't know the man. He was big at making pronouncements that he had to take back. So Peter is in the boat, and he's floating along. And here's the story. This follows the feeding of the 5,000. This is exactly afterwards. And it says that he told them to go on in the boat and to go on back to where they had come from, back around the corner of the Sea of Galilee, and he would meet them later. And he went up on a mountain to pray. Now, we could preach about prayer. We could preach about Jesus. We could preach about Jesus being unsettled himself because John the Baptist had just been beheaded, and he knew that his time was short, and he knew that he was getting ready to die on the cross. Or we could say this is about water and faith. But I want to preach about fear today. You ever been afraid of something so much you were incapacitated? You couldn't do anything. You ever been afraid of something so much that you turned around and changed the direction you were going? Ever been afraid so much that you literally got into a state of depression? You sank, as it were. Sure. We've all been afraid. Now, I'm on the coast, so I can preach this a little differently than I have up in the hills, because you know about storms here. You know about storms so much that you name them and can remember them. And there are, by the way, there are reminders of Katrina still in the woods in DeLille, Mississippi. Did y'all know that? Y'all know that because there's some here in the woods in Van Cleve. There are pieces of boats and buildings that are still strewn in the area up around DeLille when you go out 603 in that direction when we go home back to Starkville. And I'm thinking, man, why don't they go out there and move it? And I remember stopping at the little store there at the corner where the Sacred Heart Catholic Church is one day. And I asked the guy, I said, why don't they pick up some of this junk? He said, oh, no. He said, man, we may need it again after the next storm comes through. Y'all know about storms. You know how bad they can be. You know how tragic they can be. You know what they can do. Here's the truth. The disciples are afraid in this passage, not of the storm. It says they're on the sea and they're buffeted from the wind and the waves are high. But here's what terrifies them. It says, and they looked and they saw Jesus walking on the sea and they were terrified. They'd seen storms. I have an old African-American preacher friend who used to say this. He said, there's one of two things going into your life. You're either headed into the storm or you're headed out of the storm. You're either going into the storms of life or you're headed out of the storms of life. In fact, I know some people's lives that just are one constant stormy, rainy, windy, chaotic day. I hope yours isn't like that. But Jesus is seen walking on the water, and the storm now, it bothers them. But they're fishermen. They've been on the sea before. They know how quickly a storm can come up. We've had another story like this earlier in the Gospels where they get afraid, but it doesn't say they're terrified. And the words in Greek are different. It's almost I can't get the magnitude of increase that they are in terms of fear. Does your fear ever go up? What causes it to go up? Does your fear ever get so that you feel like you're just stuck? You can't move forward. You can't move backward. You can't go in any direction. Or do you get so afraid that you think, I'll just sit right here and just die? That's where the disciples are, not during the storm, but when they see Jesus walking. Now, somebody might say, well, they didn't believe. They didn't trust the miracles. They didn't believe that God could do all that. And can I tell you something? Neither do we. You put us in a chaotic, stormy situation. And by the way, it says in the scripture there, when Jesus says, Peter, he says, he cries out, he says something interesting. He says, who is it? Or is it you? Or something like that. And here's what Jesus says, not in the English. In the English, it says, it is I. Actually, he says in the Greek, I am. Now, does anybody know what that is? I am. You know, I am the bread of life. I am this. I am the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. The I am is actually the first part of the actual holy name of God. Jesus, when Peter asks, who are you? He says, I'm God. That's how I can walk on this water. That's how I can walk calmly through this storm while you're struggling in your boat. That's how I can speak to you and say, I am God. So no, none of his disciples, no one who read this in the first century, and we shouldn't be surprised that when somebody says, I'm God, that we get a little bit terrified. And so Peter, to prove not himself, but to help overcome his fear, says to Jesus, he says, tell me, command me to come to you and to walk to you on the sea. Command me, in other words, get me out of this boat, put me close to you, bring me to you. And I love what Jesus says. He doesn't say, come out of the boat and walk on the water. He just says, come. Where else in Scripture do we hear come? Come, ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come and be my disciples. Come and take up your cross and follow me. Come and be my disciple. Jesus is telling Peter three things. First, he's telling them that I want you to take heart. Second, he's saying, God is with you. And thirdly, he's saying, get out of the boat. Now, some of you are saying, I know what Peter's boat is. It's a storm on the Sea of Galilee, and the wind is high, and the waves are high, and God has shown up in their presence, and Peter and the rest of the disciples, by the way, the rest of the disciples are in the same boat as Peter. They're in the same place. They're frightened. They probably want to ask, calm the storm. They probably want to say, cut down the height of the waves. They probably want to say, tell us who you are, but Peter's the only one bold enough or foolish enough to say it. He says, get out of the boat. Peter, to walk on the water, you have to get out of the boat. John Ortberg, Lutheran pastor, says it this way. He says that, the worst failure in any storm of life where there's doubt and fear is to not to ask about whether the storm will cease or not to pretend that the waves are going to go away. The worst failure in the midst of the storms of life is to not get out of the boat at all. Now, I want you to think about that way. I don't know who said this. I wrote it down years ago, and I put it in this sermon. But storms are the way we learn. It's not in stability and in comfort. It's not when we're doing the routine of life. It's not when things are going along pretty smoothly that we learn. Do you know when we really call upon God? Do you know when we really cry out from our boat and say, come and save us? We cry out when the storms get too great and the wind gets too high and the waves get too tall. Amen. When I was taking pastoral care at Emory University, the professor there teaching the class gave us a piece of paper one day. He said, now just write down on a piece of paper all the times you've been in trouble in your life. So started scribbling down, well, when this happened and this happened. And name all the time that all the people that you've known in your life have been in trouble. And I wrote right that down. And after a while, we began, and somebody said, Professor Gary, he said, Dr. Gary, he said, we need another sheet of paper. He said, well, just here. He gave out some more paper. And for the next 30 minutes, that's all we did. We wrote down the troubles of life. And he said something I'll never forget. He said, when you preach on Sunday, when you walk into your office on Monday morning, when you come to Bible study on Wednesday evening or prayer meeting, when you go by the choir practice hall and they're practicing the choir, he said, every person in your church, every person you meet on the street, that's going to be their list and more. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. We don't cry out when the sailing is good. We don't ask for miracles when we think we've got things here in control and we're under comfort and we're in our safe place, we're in our good place, we're in our happy place. Can I tell you something? I'm not a fisherman. The only time I've ever been in a storm on the sea was on the Ross Barnett Reservoir. And a buddy of mine named Chuck and I decided to rent a Hobie, catamaran with two, hulls on it and a sail. And we told the wind was going to be 3 miles an hour that day. And a little September thunderstorm came up over the Ross Barnett Reservoir and began to blow at not just 3 miles an hour, but about 30 miles an hour. And pretty soon our Hobie Cat was up on the rocks of the dam at the Ross Barnett Reservoir. I said, Chuck, what are we going to do? He said, I don't know. I said, I thought you knew about these things. He said, my daddy sells them. He didn't make them. He didn't know how they work. And I was scared. But as long as we were sailing along at 3 miles an hour and making little zippy curves on the middle of the reservoir and getting that thing with one hull out of the water, and we looked like we were in one of the yacht club members. We were going along great, but then the wind got up and the wind, we couldn't control it and we couldn't manage it. And we said, help us. Help us. When the storms of life are raging, we say, come stand by me. Peter says, the storm is raging, Jesus. If it's really you, the great I am, then let me come stand by you. Because I know if I'm with you, I'm going to be safe. Because you can make the waters calm enough and solid enough. And you can make the foundation under my feet so that I can stand. That's what we want. It's why our prayer list, Marie, is full. I'm so grateful y'all are learning to do praises, because it's full of people having issues and troubles and struggles and illnesses and family issues and financial struggles and job losses and marital discord. And by the way, we don't put many of those on there, do we? That's what this story is about. It's about the fear we all have. It's about, listen, Jack and they're honest. They're telling you what they're scared of. Chickens and dinosaurs. Guys, I wish that's all I ever had to be scared of in my life. I wish that's all that ever frightened me. What about you? What's going to happen to my kids and grandkids when I'm gone? What's going to happen to me if I go to see the cardiologist? I'm going to brag a little bit. I went to see my cardiologist at Ochsner's in New Orleans yesterday on Friday, there on Jefferson, and I went in, and they did the EKG, and the little guy doing the EKG says, huh, you look great. And I said, oh, God. I got in there, and she said, yeah, you've got two straight in a row. You don't have AFib anymore. Hallelujah. And I'm thinking, great. And I said, do I still have to take that $50 a month medicine? She said, yeah, you do. Tom, she's trying to fix me up like you, but she says I'm not behaving, so I can't get it yet. Oh, I was so relieved. I was frightened. I was going to get a bad EKG, and they were going to say, your stroke risk went from 4% to 25%. And I was scared. Oh, I was not frightened to death, but I was thinking, what would happen to me if I had a stroke? You think Peter's sitting in the boat, what would happen if we sink? More importantly, what would happen if we sink while Jesus is standing solid on the water? You know what it's like to be afraid and to wonder what's going to happen next? Let me say this, I'm not being critical. If you don't, come see me afterwards because you have a deeper problem. And see, this passage is, I want to be careful because somebody's going to say, are you saying that Jesus didn't walk on the water? No, I'm telling you, he absolutely did. Are you saying that he didn't get Peter out of the boat and didn't walk on the water? No, he absolutely did. The problem solved is not Peter being able to walk on the water again, because Peter's not going to need to walk on the water every day of his life, but he is going to need to overcome his fears every single moment of his life. Amen. Alistair Begg, our Presbyterian friend, Jimmy, says it this way. He says, if when you preach in a text, you got to talk about two things. The first thing is, what is the nature of God in this text? And the nature of God is to say, I hear your fears, Peter. I understand your fears. And so come to me and stand with me. And the second thing Begg says that every text of the Bible ought to tell us is, how do we apply that to our life? It means that when Jesus, by the way, is inviting us, and can I tell you this, because I'm a Methodist and I believe in prevenient grace of John Wesley, taught and preached, I believe that Jesus is constantly saying to us the word, come. Peter, you're scared? Come. Peter, you're scared of sinking? Come. Peter, get out of the boat? Come. But you got to get out of the boat, Peter. You can't walk on the waves and come stand with me if you stay in the boat. If we stay in our fears and our double-mindedness, by the way, that word in Greek where he says, why do you waver, doubt, means to be of two minds. Double-minded. We know what Scripture talks about. We know about people. We know what Scripture talks about churches that are double-minded. And so he's saying, make up your mind, Peter. Are you going to follow me? Are you going to get out of the boat? Are you going to stay there in your fears? Are you going to stay there locked down? Are you going to stay there incapacitated? Are you going to stay there? Are you going to get out of the boat and come? I believe this. I believe there are so many times in our life where we're frightened, we're scared, we're doubting and wondering, and the whole time there's a Jesus standing just out the mist and the fog of our life saying, come. And we're too scared to make the move. Well, I know what I got in the boat. It may be scary, but it'll go, I know what I got in the boat. I know what I've got here. I know the foundation I built. I know about my family. I'm scared to take that new job. I'm scared to go get that test from the doctor. I know what I got right here. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to move. I'm just going to stay right here. By the way, churches can do the same thing that people do. Actually, we're good right here. We're not going to step out in faith and invite new people. We're not going to reach out and extend the same invitation that Jesus extends to us, to others. Come. We're not going to do that. We're just going to say, just stay, we're good. Where are you wavering? Where are you doubting? Where are you fearful in your life? And Jesus is literally standing nearby saying, come. Come. I'm so glad Peter got out of the boat. I'm so glad he said, I'm going to do this. I'm sure that years later, when sharing with the early church, he said things like, you know, I walked on water. Maybe he did. Or, you know, I was in the storm and I was the only one that got up there and stood with Jesus. No, here's what he says. If you read Peter, here's what he said. I stand on the foundation of Jesus Christ. He said, it is in him that I trust. It is in him that I believe. Can I say it and paraphrase it? It is him who I stand with. The purpose of Peter walking on the water was not so that Peter could do an advertisement for his local church saying, we have walk on your water Sunday. No, we don't. Well, guess what we have at Mount Pleasant? We have a place to relieve all your doubts and fears Sunday. Amen. And it's here. And it's because Jesus comes from his place of prayer with the Father in heaven and comes down to the lake, which is raging with storms, in the midst of all the trouble that was there, and he stands and says, Peter, come. Out of the boat, come. Where and when is Jesus calling you to come? From your fears, from your doubts, from your troubles, and to come and stand with him. Let's pray. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me, and Jesus says, come and stand. Come and walk. Get out of the boat. Leave your fears. Leave your terrified mind. Leave your doubts and your wavering thoughts and come to me. The great I am. The great I am says to us today, you can come and your fears and your doubts and your troubles, and I will stand with you. Notice he doesn't say to Peter, I'm going to stop the waves and the wind and all that. He just says, Peter, come and stand, and you can stand with me, and I will stand with you. In the midst of storms, in the midst of troubles, in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of grief and doubt, I'll stand with you. That's God's promise today, not just to Peter, but to each and every one of us. Help us to stand with you. Help us to know that we're walking on the way you want us to walk. And keep us afloat, Lord. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us in God's Word today. If this message encouraged or challenged you, share it with someone who needs to hear it. That's part of witnessing boldly. We're so grateful you're part of this global Methodist family. May you go from here filled with the joy of the Lord and the power of His Spirit. Until next Sunday, walk closely with Jesus. God bless you.